How you love yourself is how you teach others to love you. Rupi Kaur. Hey everyone, what's up, and welcome back to another episode on the Hipster Mom Podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Betters, and if you're a first-time listener to the show, I would like to say welcome and to say thank you so much for taking the time to listen. It's my sincere hope that you find something useful, enlightening, entertaining, and who knows, maybe even all of the above while listening to the podcast. Before we begin today's episode, I just wanted to take a moment to say that I hope you are all staying safe, staying healthy, and staying grounded during these very difficult times. I hope that you're able to practice social distancing as realistically as you can, but when you have to leave your house to get your groceries and also running your other errands as well, it can be very difficult to fully social distance, but I suppose we can try, right? Also, I'm extremely excited to announce that I was actually interviewed by a local newspaper for a current events segment. The article can be found in the Mankato Free Press, and the article is titled, Binge This: Locals Create Binge-Worthy Content. It just blows me away that I was actually interviewed at all, and not only that, but I was mentioned right out of the gate as the first podcast that was talked about in the article. If you're interested in reading this, I will put this article in the show notes if you would like to read it. But anyway, with all of this aside, let's get on with today's episode. So today's episode is about practicing self-love in quarantine. This can be difficult for those who may not understand what self-love really is. While I was doing the research for this episode, I found a definition of self-love on Merriam-Webster.com, and the definition of self-love is, and I quote, a love of self, such as an appreciation of one's own worth or virtue, proper regard for and attention to one's own happiness or well-being, or inflated love of or pride in oneself, end quote. That's just one definition that I was able to locate without going down an entire rabbit hole of information, as there is a ton of definitions of self-love out there, and I truly believe that a lot of the definitions could actually be tied into it. However, I just wanted to give you like a brief and maybe a perhaps generalized definition of self-love. I have been trying to practice self-love in quarantine, but when you have a child that needs help with their distance learning schedule, taking care of a pet, as well as performing the basic household tasks, it can be easy to put love on the back burner. Like, self-love definitely comes along with that, right? I still make sure that my basic needs are being met, and these basic needs have been making sure that I'm drinking enough water, eating, getting outside as much as I can to get some fresh air, and making sure that I'm getting plenty of sleep, as well as practicing my meditation and yoga routine. And I'm also making sure that I'm taking the time to write in my gratitude journal, as I believe that it's important to show gratitude for the things that I already have in my life. And I've been taking mental stock of, and I've been trying to do my best to be living a more mindful lifestyle, such as having the things that I actually need versus what I want, forgiving myself, protecting myself, and living intentionally. And while I was doing the research, like I had mentioned, I found an article on psychologytoday.com, and I swear I resonated with it so much. This article was written by Deborah Koshaba, and she's a psych D, which I imagine that's probably what they put on a college graduate degree, right? For when they graduate from, I believe it's graduate school. But then again, don't quote me on that. But she wrote this article back in 2012 on March 27th. And this article is 8 years old, but I still believe that it's relevant to this day, especially with the fact that we're all living our daily lives in seclusion, especially more so than ever before. Koshaba's article is titled A 7-Step Prescription for Self-Love, and there were so many helpful tips that I resonated with, so I would like to share with you what I've learned so far. The first step that I read was to become more mindful, and people who have self-love tend to know what they're feeling, thinking, and wanting. And when you become more mindful of who you are and you act on this knowledge, you become more inclined to do the things that are best for you, and you're not willing to act on the things that others think you should be acting on. You know, this can be very hard, as I know that there's been more than one occasion that I've given into acting on things that others thought that I should be doing. But then I finally had enough of feeling empty and worthless, and I slowly began to cut those things that I did not resonate with out of my life for good. The second step is to act on what you need rather than what you want. And you know that you love yourself when you can turn away from something that feels good and exciting to what you need to stay strong, centered, and moving moving forward in your life. Instead, when you stay focused on what you need, you can turn away from the behaviors that will either get you in trouble, keep you stuck in the past, or worse, lessen the self-love that you have for yourself. And the way that I viewed this is that you have to turn away from the things that are only going to satisfy you for a short duration, and because that doesn't fill up your love cup. Also, when you turn to the behaviors that will only keep you stuck, it's the concept of that you're taking 3 steps forward, but taking 10 steps back. And when you start acting on the things that you actually need in your life, and maybe try doing that and just see what happens. The third step is to practice good self-care. And from my own experience, this can be difficult because I get so caught up in taking care of other things in my life instead of taking care of myself. So for example, there was a time last year in early 2019 that I wasn't taking care of myself. I was going to school, I was so stressed out, and I was eating, but I wasn't eating the greatest. I was more or less eating too much comfort food and not enough of the things that my body actually needed. I was also consuming way too much coffee and not enough water because I swear those long nights of studying really got to me. It was just not a good cycle at all. And then combined with the fact that my husband was a truck driver at that point, and I was all alone taking care of a house, a child, and our dog on top of all of that. I finally got to a much better mindset than where I was a year ago, and I will never go back to that. In fact, you know that you truly love yourself when you take care of the basic needs. And according to Koshaba's article, she mentioned that people who have high levels of self-love will nourish themselves daily through activities such as nutrition, exercise, proper sleep, healthy social interactions, and healthy intimacy. If you would have asked me if my needs were being met a year ago, I would have told you that they were at times, but otherwise they truly suffered. I really started to doubt myself of whether or not I was even worthy of receiving these things to help fill those needs. It was when I finally told myself that I couldn't live like that anymore, and I finally took the action to actually change that, and I'm so happy that I did. But the fourth step is to set boundaries. When I was younger, I did not always have the greatest boundaries set up. And as a result, I would allow myself to be walked on. Looking back at my younger self, I'm thinking, why in the hell would you allow that to happen? I know that I can't be too hard on myself since I was younger, but it makes so much sense for why my needs didn't always get fulfilled. I was made to believe that I was being selfish for taking care of myself, and I believed the people who told me that. And even though I'm better than where I was at one point, I still struggle with that ideal from time to time. It must just be the 30-year-old coming out in me, and as a woman who knows now when she's finally had enough of someone's nonsense. The only thing that I have to say to anyone who thinks you're being selfish is this: screw you. You have to take care of yourself, and you're not being selfish by fulfilling your needs for yourself. And if people are going to have such issues with that, then those people need to slowly but surely fall out of your life and just stay there. I know that sounds harsh, but damn it, some people just need to hear that. In fact, you will know that you love yourself when you begin to set those limits or starting to say no to work, love, or activities that only deplete, harm you physically, emotionally, spiritually, or express you in a very poor way. No one has time for that. You know, let's just be real here. No one has time for that. And if you're looking for that boost to tell you that you deserve more, then let me be that one that boosts you and say that you deserve more than the things that are only going to hurt you in the long run. The fifth step was to protect yourself. And what I mean by that is by bringing the right people that will only love, support, and stand up for you every step of the way. The author of this article mentioned the term frenemies that she's heard from her younger clients. You know those jerks who only take pleasure in your pain or loss, and they're never there to support you when it comes to the likes of happiness and success? Yeah, you know those people, right? Well, here's some advice, and take it from someone who learned it the hard way. Get rid of them. Let's be real here. Life is too damn short to be wasting it on jerks who love nothing more than to rob you of the happiness that you could be experiencing and experiencing it with the people who could be lifting you up instead of tearing you down. Because like I said, who the hell has time for that? I know I don't have time for that. Come on. Really? Let's be real here. Then the sixth step is to forgive yourself. And as a 30-year-old, I'm still learning this again and again. Forgiving yourself is one of the hardest things to do, and as we're human, right? While there is absolutely nothing wrong with taking responsibility for your actions, when you do that, it shows a level of maturity, right? However, there is a downside to that, and as we tend to punish ourselves a little too much for mistakes that often come with learning and growing as human beings. And anyone who knows me knows that I can be very hard on myself at times. And with all this crazy shit that's going on in the world, I need to understand that I need to start forgiving myself for being so hard on myself. And the thing that I love that Kosaba actually said in this article is how she broke it down to even further into subpoints, if you will. The first point that she makes is to accept what she phrased as humanness, and in other words, accepting the fact that you are not perfect, and if anyone tries to tell you otherwise, then they're full of shit, figuratively and literally, but we're not going to get into the literal side of that because that's just gross. The second point that she makes is to practice being less hard on yourself when you do make a mistake. There is one thing to remember is that there is no such thing as failures if you learned a lesson from the experience and you grow from the mistakes. The seventh and the final step is to live intentionally. If you would have asked me what this phrase meant several years ago, I probably would have looked at you with either a blank expression or I would have been struggling to come up with an answer. I'm just putting this disclaimer out there that I am not an expert on the idea of living intentionally, but I've been reading so many books about living mindfully and intentionally as of lately. The one book that I have been reading is Mindful Living, and I think I mentioned it before in a previous episode, but this book has been amazing in teaching me different viewpoints of living intentionally. In fact, there was one exercise that I did read about, and it was about standing in front of a mirror and really looking at yourself. And I mean, come on, like when you really think about it, when we're actually looking into a mirror, are we really looking at ourselves when, like, let's just say we're getting ready in the morning? No, I don't really think we're actually fully looking at ourselves. So after doing this exercise for about 30 minutes, and that's standing in front of a mirror and really looking at yourself, then you're supposed to write down how you felt, such as making note of any negative feelings that come up. And then the next step of this exercise is to strip yourself of all of your clothes and then looking at yourself in the mirror again. And you have to look at yourself without wanting to fix anything about yourself. This may sound like a very strange exercise, but what's very interesting is that 97% of the students that did this exercise found it to be very helpful because it forced them to confront their thoughts and just themselves in general. It makes perfect sense, or at least it did to me anyway, because there are so many circumstances where I've been wanting to fix something about myself, like I'm not thin enough or toned enough, I'm not pretty enough, you know, that negative bullshit that we always seem to tell ourselves. Yeah, you know, just the negative self-talk, and it's very toxic, you know, and it's really amazing because I've heard of this idea too, is that what we tell ourselves and what we choose to see becomes our reality. And when you think about it, like how many times have we seen like commercials of like these really thin models, or we've seen, you know, these girls that are very dolled up and we think, oh, we need to be like that. You know what I mean? It's a very sad way of looking at that, because like I said, you know, before, is that what we choose to see becomes our reality. And then when we see that, and when we're seeing ourselves in a mirror, that we're not really seeing ourselves, we're seeing all these depictions of what we were seeing at one point, like what we saw in like a commercial, or what we saw in a movie, or, you know, even like a magazine ad too. I've seen that before, and this is just coming from the experience of actually my classes that I took in college. So it's very interesting. But however, I'm now convinced that the reason that we are feeling this way is just based on our own experiences. And, you know, coming from my own experience, that's how I feel anyway. And the things that we were taught at a very young age. It's very sad when you think about that. But oh my God, when it seems to make so much sense. I am going to take a very quick break here, and I will be right back after this. Do you love podcasting, but you're not sure where to begin? Well, let me tell you that today is a great day to start your own podcast. Whether you're looking for a new marketing channel, have a message you want to share with the world, or just think it would be fun to have your own talk show, podcasting is an easy, inexpensive, and fun way to expand your reach online. Buzzsprout is hands down the easiest and best way to launch, promote, and track your podcast. Your show can be online and listed in all the major podcast directories such as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and more within minutes of finishing your recording. And if you want to upgrade, Buzzsprout has a ton of guides that will help you find the right equipment at the right price. And what I love about Buzzsprout is the fact that they're passionate about helping you succeed, because podcasting isn't hard when you have the right partners. So join me and over 100,000 other podcasters that are already using Buzzsprout to get their message out in the world. By following the link in the show notes, this lets Buzzsprout know that I sent you, and it gets you a $20 Amazon gift card if you sign up for a paid plan. And in turn, this helps support the show. Buzzsprout, let's create something great together. And I am back. I am speaking with you here on the podcast, and I just had to get another refill of water because I find that if I start talking and if I am speaking for a little too long, my throat tends to get very dry. I don't know why, but maybe it might also be from like the beers that I had earlier this afternoon. I did go to like a Memorial Day barbecue at my parents' house. And yes, so I enjoyed myself, but I did not enjoy myself too much. But yeah, I find that if I drink too much of that stuff, like my throat tends to get very dry, and I don't know why. Like, I guess maybe it's just my body's way of saying like, hey, maybe some water would be pretty good here right now instead of just drinking Red's apple ale, because I'm very big fan of that. Anyway, so we're on the subject of self-love, and I did find another article, and I really thought this was also prevalent too, because I kind of wanted to tie up this concept of self-love, at least for my own personal experience. So the article that I found was 5 ways to cultivate self-love, and this is an article that also came from the same website, psychologytoday.com, but this was written by Beverly D. Flaxington, and this was written, actually, what's kind of ironic is the fact when I was going through this kind of like self-love rut, if you will, this was actually written on January 17th of 2019, which is kind of ironic, really, when I'm thinking about it now. Flaxington states, and I quote, "Loving oneself doesn't mean developing a shell and blocking out the world. It doesn't mean having an ego so big that no one else can fit into a room with you. It doesn't mean foregoing relationships because you only enjoy being with yourself. And while it may be tempting for many, it doesn't mean you should only have pets for the rest of your life. It does mean becoming comfortable with who you are. It means recognizing that someone else who didn't learn unconditional love has a hard time giving it. It means recognizing that most human beings hurt, and they pass this hurt along to other people. Understanding this can help you turn your attention from waiting and wanting someone to make you whole to realizing you have the ability inside of you," end quote. And I really thought that that was super powerful, because there was so many times in my life, like especially when I got to be, you know, the age of like 18, 19 years old, it felt like I was trying to seek approval from other people, that really now that I'm looking at it from the perspective of now that I'm married to somebody that I truly love and that truly loves me back, and just looking at it from this perspective is just like, what the hell were you doing? You know, like, why were you wasting your time, effort, and energy on these people that clearly did not care for you at all? And especially like when it came for the fact, like, guys, if I really liked somebody, I would try to do everything that I could to make them happy. And it, in turn, it really was bad on my self-esteem. It was bad on my self-love, like in loving myself fully. It was just sad. Looking back at it now, like, I'm kind of at that point where I can take care of myself. I know this, but it's just, I can't believe it. Like, I'm still blown away by the fact that I actually allowed, you know, a guy to like walk all over me like that. And not only that, but kind of like treating me as like a convenience to him, you know, like kind of like sort of like an inconvenience, but keeping me at, you know, an arm's length just in case he starts getting bored and then finally wants to have something to do with me. It took me a long time to finally understand that that is not love at all. And I used to think that, okay, maybe it's me. Maybe I need to start doing something to myself in order for him to pay more attention to me, to, you know, want to do things with me all the time. And I'm not saying we had to be together all the time, but the thing is that when I really like somebody, I just like to hang out with them and I like to get to know them even better. At least that's how I looked at it when I was younger. But now I'm at that point where I'm fine with not always being around one another all the time. And in fact, I kind of enjoy it just because I don't like, you know, having somebody wondering what I'm doing at all times. But now I don't mind being alone. But at the same time, I do like it if my husband is home, you know, spending time with me and us just hanging out and just kind of doing our own thing together. Anyway, so there was like 5 ways that she talked about cultivating self-love. And I wanted to talk about that here really quickly. The first way of cultivating self-love is to recognize that no two people are exactly alike. And even though that genetics may predispose us to certain things, things. And what I mean by that is like we're predisposed to maybe get multiple sclerosis, or we're predisposed to get cancer, or, you know, heart disease, you know, God forbid. But each individual has their own set of fingerprints by which they are known. And even identical twins may look alike and sometimes act alike too, but they do not share the same fingerprints. And in fact, that means that you are truly and completely unique. And that fact alone is a startling spiritual truth when you take a moment to actually digest it. Because I've found too, and I actually am speaking from personal experience here, is that I actually have twin sisters. They're not twins, but they're fraternal twins. So they're twins, but they don't look exactly alike each other. There is physical differences between the two of them. But just because when someone hears the idea of twins, that doesn't mean that they're alike. They have differences between each other. They have similarities, but they're very different at the same time. But yeah, I mean, I love the fact that she says, the fact that you're still truly and completely unique, even if you are a twin, that it's very startling when you do take a moment to actually sit and you're like, oh my God, they're actually right. Nobody is truly the same. Like, we are all different and unique in our own way. And then the second way of cultivating self-love is to realize that each person does what they are capable of in their own evolution and journey, and beating yourself up because you didn't do or did something that was useless. Most people overcome obstacles, and in doing so, make a ton of mistakes along the way. It's why people value age because of the learning experiences. Instead of beating yourself up, embrace your journey and know that you are learning at each and every moment that is given to you. The third way of cultivating self-love is to respect that each moment is a gift. Everyone knows someone who got a life-changing diagnosis or news that changed their view on what is actually important. Self-care is important. Don't wait to apply it. Yes, there is plenty to do and to worry about. And in the midst of it all, each moment gives you a chance to just stop and realize your own significance in the universe. And the fourth way of cultivating self-love is remember that no one is perfect. And in fact, that's kind of like a mantra. So say that to yourself again. No one is perfect. Everyone has strengths and areas of opportunity. And really, the thing that she also wants you to understand, and I'm saying when I say she, I mean Flaxington, she's saying, don't sell yourself short or compare yourself to others. And in fact, I actually heard a term not that long ago, and it actually came from the Plantful Life podcast with Stephanie Diane. She had somebody on there not that long ago, and it was talking about the idea of compare Schlager. And it's when you drink this, let's just say a metaphorical Schlager, you drink the Schlager, but then before you know it, you're comparing yourself to this person, or you're comparing yourself to that person. And in turn, it's just slowly like tearing you down and just kind of grinding you down even further. Basically, what I'm saying is stop doing that to yourself, all right? Stop doing that. And, you know, it's a losing opportunity, and it's a losing proposition, really. And this is in Flaxington's words. She says, it's a losing proposition, and there is always someone who would take your place in a minute, given their circumstances. And because those circumstances that that person might have that would love to just take your place may come from the most shittiest of circumstances, but they're looking at you, and they're probably comparing themselves to you as well. I mean, we all do it, right? We're human. And they're probably thinking, I would love to have that opportunity to see where they're at, because, you know, my life sucks, or, you know, whatever they may be thinking or saying to themselves at that point. You know, you got to own what's positive about you and just enjoy those things. And I'm stressing Flaxington's words here because I really felt that that hit home for me, is own what's positive about you and enjoy the things that's positive about you. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. And the fifth and final way of cultivating self-love is practicing loving self-talk. That's, and I'm gonna be straight up here, that is super difficult, because when you're really hard on yourself, like I can be hard on myself, and I know damn well that I am very hard on myself, all right? I can say the nastiest things to myself about myself, because like they say, you're your own worst critic, right? That phrase is so true. And if anybody tries to say that it's not, well, they're lying. You got to practice that self-love talk. You know what I mean? Flaxington says here, sometimes the things that we say to ourselves are the most awful, demeaning things anyone could ever say. Like I just said, the negative self-talk. Instead of drilling yourself about how terrible you are or using self-defeating language, you should try, and if you can, reframe it and use language that builds you up and not tear you down. And that, like I said, is very hard, especially if you're an individual that's super hard on yourself like I am, because I know I can be very hard on myself. Like I said, I'm 30 years old, and the fact that I'm still learning and relearning this stuff every single day, and I highly doubt that I'm ever gonna fully learn it. I probably will get better at it as I age. You know, I'm at that point where I feel like I should have all this stuff figured out. I should have my life figured out. Well, guess what, sister or brother or whoever the hell you are, if you're listening to this, you don't have it all figured out. And that's okay. You're human. You're not supposed to have everything figured out. That's why it's called a journey, right? You're going through this metaphorical journey on your way to becoming a better individual, or you're learning how to approach a new thing, whether that be a new job opportunity, or you're stepping up in the world from where you were at. Like, let's just say you're learning how to buy a house. You know, that is a huge learning curve. Like, nobody goes into that knowing exactly what's going to happen, because even if you had the perfect credit scores, or if you have like the best job history in the entire world, the thing is that there's always going to be something that comes up, because anybody who tries to say, oh yeah, it didn't take me very long at all, well, I think they're lying. You know what I mean? I mean, that's just an analogy that I thought was kind of good for that. But anyway, like I said, these are just some of the lessons as well as reminders for us. But however, I'm not going to sit here and tell you guys that I perform all of these habits to a T. There's been moments where I have been so hard on myself. And the thing that I remember most of all and so vividly is during my college career. In fact, I recall one time during my college career, and then this was like my last semester of actual college classes on campus, because the final semester, spring of 2020, that was when I was doing my internship until that got canceled because thanks Corona. I remember there was this one college professor that I just remember was tough as nails. And if there were moments that when I didn't do so well on a test, or if I didn't do so well on like my reading guide notes, and what I mean by like reading guide notes is we were doing like research-based papers. So we were having to do this final paper, right? At the end of the semester, that's when it was due. So we had these reading guides that we could actually implement into our paper. We implemented it into a synthesis matrix. And then after that, we used what we had from the synthesis matrix into the paper. Yeah, I just remember if I didn't do so well on some of that stuff, I was beating myself up over it. Like, it really made me question myself. And I was always so used to telling myself that it will get better if I just do this or if I just do that. Like I said, it was this negative talk. And to this day, I'm still astounded that I even talk to myself like that in a very negative fashion. But like I said before, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I talk to myself in such a loving way all the time. Because like I've said, we're our own worst critics. And I was also beating myself up over the fact that I had put on weight, or the fact that I wasn't eating healthy enough. It was really just like this never-ending cycle of mental strain. But then I finally had enough of the negative self-talk, and I started doing something about it. I started taking better care of myself, and I started getting up early in the morning before my son did to do the things that I needed to do while I was in my final semester of college. Now that I'm no longer in school and I'm, you know, completely graduated by now at this point, I now have the time to start striving towards better physical and mental health. I have been journaling almost every day, doing yoga, meditation, eating foods that are healthy, but still honoring my body when I would like to have something that I consider a cheat meal, or if I want to have a drink like my Red's Apple Ale, I will drink it, or I will eat that meal if I want to. And I also honor my body now when it finally needs the rest, especially if I've been in that kind of go, go, go mode, if you will, or even just like that mentality, and just making sure that I'm spending quality time with the people that mean the most in my life. I've also started working on projects that matter most to me, as my husband and his friend and myself actually put together the palette wall that's actually in my husband's and my house here, and I'm staring right at it actually while I'm recording this episode. Yeah, I mean, I've been also working on this podcast to bring you guys the most authentic content that I can produce, and I've also started to declutter my home of the things that are no longer serving any purpose. And my husband and I got rid of a bunch of stuff. We got rid of a lot of baby toys that were no longer serving purpose, as a lot of these were missing parts or they were just very dated in general. I've also gone through my clothes that no longer served any purpose or didn't, and I'm putting air quotes around this spark joy, to put in Marie Kondo's words. There was a lot of negative energy that was attached to some of these items, and it was just time to let them go. There has been so many moments when I was with my son's father that were attached to these outfits, and they harbored too much negative energy to them. And my attitude now is, if it's weighing you down, Let it go. You don't have to hold on to that stuff because if it doesn't bring your life meaning, just get rid of it. It's not worth your happiness or your energy to hold on to these things. And if you're needing permission to get rid of the things that you no longer need, you now have that permission from me. In fact, I'm imploring you to let that stuff go. I also want to be clear that when I have been doing journaling, yoga, meditation, eating more healthfully, I also haven't been religiously sticking to this. And that's okay. I'm also learning that it's okay to just sit and binge Hulu for a few hours. It's okay to just sit and read a book and drink coffee. It's okay to just eat like crap every once in a while. It's okay. In my opinion, the idea of self-love doesn't have to be perfect. So let go of any preconceived notions that self-love has to be perfect. Because it's not. There is no such thing as perfect, and there never will be. I wish I could sit here and tell you that I have all the answers when it comes to self-love, but I don't. Like I said earlier, I'm still learning, and even at the age of 30, it's a continual process, and I don't think I'll ever be done in this journey that I'm currently on. Overall, the one takeaway that I hope you receive from this is that you're not a failure if you don't have the perfect self-love routine. I hope to also be that example that there is no such thing as perfect. It's all about practice. That's why we should always look at it as a practice rather than something that needs to be perfected. Again, say that with me. It's a practice and it's not something that needs to be perfected. Take that mantra, repeat it to yourself as many times as you want to. And nothing is perfect. There is no such thing as perfect. That's all the time I have for today. Thank you so much for tuning in for today's episode. If you would like to, make sure that you subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Also, I would love it if you left a review on Apple Podcasts, as this helps to boost the show's visibility. I would love to know where you're listening from, so send me screenshots to the podcast Instagram at The Hipster Mom Podcast. Also, if you would like to, you can follow the podcast on Facebook as well. I will include those social media links in the show notes. I will also include the articles that were mentioned in today's episode in the show notes as well, if you would like to take a look at those. Make sure you tune in for this Friday's podcast episode as I sit down with Britt Nicole from the You, Me, and PTSD podcast, where we talk about her caregiver role to someone who was diagnosed with PTSD. I will speak with you all very soon, and until next time, keep living your best life. Peace.